Between the sniffling and the snorting, I hope we can preach a message this morning. All right. But you're going to get another one. All right. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy, if you would, chapter 6. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It is good to be with God's people. It is good to hear from God's Word. And our prayer is that God would speak to us through His Word this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I will remind you where we are. Down in verse 3, the Apostle Paul has been drawing attention toward false teachers and their false doctrine and how they reject healthy and wholesome words. And that results in sickness, a spiritual sickness, a sick desire. A craving for controversy is what we read in God's Word. They quarrel about words. And that results in envy and in strife. It results in slander. It results in evil way of thinking, evil thoughts. They crave controversy. And in verse 10, I want you to notice, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." They have not only craved controversy, but false teachers also crave money. They crave material things. This is a very challenging message this morning as I think about it and ponder it in my own life. You know, we in the United States of America, we are affluent compared to other countries. There are many people who literally die trying to get to this country, trying to get a grasp of the American dream. If you are living in this country, chances are, though you might not think so, you are in the top 10 wealthiest of all that are living in the world. All you have to do is go through a third world country and you will see how God has blessed you in the United States of America. As we are going to take a mission trip over there to Jamaica, you know what? In Jamaica, they are quite impoverished in many areas. They don't have a lot. We have much. Whether you acknowledge it or not, we have much. And we must take heed to that which we have, because here in the Word of God, the Word of God gives warning about materialism and about your possessions. And the Word of God speaks quite frequently concerning this particular topic. Here they crave, these false teachers, they crave the materialism. They crave having things. There are times in your life you desire to have and desire to have and you desire to have so much it consumes you just about. These false teachers, they have more going for them. They're proud and they're ignorant. I guess there's not a worse combination than being proud and being ignorant in your proudness. But that's what these false teachers had. They love division. They love causing division and controversy. They think they can practice godliness, and by an outward form of godliness, though they deny the power thereof, though they crave things. They think it's going to make them prosper. They're going to be blessed with things because they are living an outward godly life. Let me tell you, there are people who preach that type of gospel today. It's called a prosperity gospel. And they believe that you can name it and that you can claim it. They believe that God wants to bless you. And what they're thinking about is material things, possessions, money, things that will pass away. We in God's Word are told that we are to hold fast to sound doctrine. We are to hold fast wholesome, healthy words. Words that sound doctrine teaches godliness. This godliness that it's promoting is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what I want to say right off the beginning this morning, be content with the gospel. Hear what I say. Be content with the gospel. Don't go looking for some second blessing. Don't go looking for how God can bless you materialistically, how He can bless you financially. Now, you know what? I pray God does help you to prosper, that you might be able to give more. But don't be craving that type of life. Don't be craving wealth. Don't be craving things, because many have gone astray because of this particular type of craving. Be content with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be content with His death, burial, and His resurrection, and His promises that He's coming again. Be content with His teaching and His Word. Don't go be looking for something spectacular, something spontaneous, something like, wow. Be content with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about what you can get from Jesus. There's so many people are teaching this false doctrine. Let me tell you, when persecution comes in their life, their gospel is going to be powerless. Many people live hearing about a Jesus who will give them everything they want. If you believe in Jesus, He'll make your marriage better. If you believe in Jesus, He'll give you a bigger home. If you believe in Jesus, you're going to have a padded bank account. If you believe in Jesus, you're going to get healing. If you believe in... You know what? That's a false gospel. I'm not saying Jesus Christ cannot make your marriage better. Don't get me wrong. But you love Jesus Christ because of who Jesus Christ is, not what you can get from Him. There are many people in our day and time that are craving material possessions, especially in the United States of America. They crave things. They want more. Don't desire your way, because you might get what you want and not want what you get. There is nothing wrong with riches. I want you to notice what it says in verse 10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. Don't mix the message up. It's the love. It's that craving. It's that strong desire, that consuming desire that you got to have more money. For which cause many do not come to church on Sunday, because they're worshiping the almighty dollar. Notice what it says in verse 17. Charge them which are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which gives us richly all things to enjoy. In other words, don't put your hope in your bank account. Don't put your hope in the stock market. Don't put your hope in things of this world. Because here's where people stumble and fall. Your contentment will not come from the things of this world. The Word of God doesn't speak against being rich. You think of Abraham. Abraham had many flocks and much wealth. And Abraham was a friend of God. David had much wealth, but he was a man after God's own heart. What we get cautioned about from God's Word as we look at this text today is we're getting caution about the love of wealth, the love of possessions, the love of riches. I've preached on this text before, and somewhere I ran across a quote. It said something like this: one out of every 10 verses of Scripture speaks of your possessions. That's a lot. There are about 2,000 verses of Scripture in the Word of God that speaks concerning wealth and possessions. Jesus talked about your possessions even more than He talked about heaven or hell. Contentment is what many people are lacking. In the Word of God, it talks about this contentment. It says in verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." What is contentment? Being satisfied. Now, you know what? You might have a steak dinner and you feel satisfied, but that ain't really contentment, is it? Because that's something that will fleet away. When that steak wears off, you need some more steak. Or if you like fishing, you go fishing and you're content. But you know what? You can't stay on the fishing bank all your rest of your life. You know, there are certain things we think will bring contentment. If I win the lottery, boy, I'll be content. Oh, you know what? Only for a short while. The things of this life are fleeting. You can take a trip to the beach and be content. But you know what? You got to come back. Or pretty soon you'll start griping about the sand and the salt and the sand fleas and the jellyfish. And you won't stay content with the things of this world. Contentment does not come from things. Listen to what it says over in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Jesus said in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Yet isn't that the way a lot of people live that you know, that I know? "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. If your treasure is in your clothes, you know what? That's where your heart's at. If your treasure is in your bank account, that's where your heart's at. You show me your bank, I bet you show me your bank book, your bank account, I'm going to show you where your heart's at. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. We often think possessions are a blessing. Or we often think that money is a blessing. I hear this constantly with people. "Oh, God is so good because we beat Kentucky yesterday." You know what? That's what Tennessee says. Let me tell you, God is good no matter what. God is good no matter what you get or don't get. God is good in spite of what you consider a blessing or don't consider a blessing. God is good all the time. Your possessions, people's possessions, people's wealth, is more often a barrier from God than a blessing we count that comes from God. Oftentimes, I've seen people who have been gifted with a boat, and therefore they take the gift and ignore God. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes blessings, the things we count as blessings, are barriers that keep us from God. I want you to notice what it says once again in 1 Timothy 6. Godliness with contentment. Notice the pairing here. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But be careful of seeking materialism, the craving, the greed, the longing and desires, the bad passions for things and possessions which are passing away. These things are only temporal. I want you to notice how Paul develops this thought. In verse 7, he talks about our entrance and our exit. And everybody in this world has an entrance and an exit. In verse 7, he says, For we brought nothing into this world. Let me tell you, when you were born into this world, pardon the French, but you were born butt naked. You didn't have anything. You didn't bring anything into this world. But you know what? When you leave this world, you ain't taking nothing with you. You can gain all the possessions you want. You can become a millionaire. And you know what? When you die, you know how much of that million you're going to take with you? Nothing. You've come into this world with nothing. And Paul says it's certain you can carry nothing out. So where's your heart at? Is your heart in the things that are passing away? The material things that are temporal? Where is your heart? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul? I want you to notice in verse 8, he says, if you have food and raiment, you're to be content. What the Word of God's telling us, if you've got food for sustenance and water, if you've got things that keep your body functioning on the inside, and if you've got raiment or you've got clothing and shelter from the outside, if you're a child of God, you ought to be content. But I don't have the 52-inch square-inch TV that watch the ball games on. And I don't have a nice brand new car. And I don't have I look how we think. If you've got food and clothing and shelter, you ought to be content. The material things do not bring contentment. Possessions are very deceptive. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 tells us, but they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare, a trap. Here God's Word tells us, if you're desiring to be rich, you're falling into a trap. Those who pursue after money will be consumed with pursuing after money. They become trapped. An old saying that I read a long time ago, and I'll never forget it, not unless I get Alzheimer's or something. But if I do, I forget it. But it was once asked Rockefeller, how much money is enough? How many of y'all heard me say this? Yeah, he said, just a little bit more. That's how much is enough. Just a little bit more. How much money is enough? You got millions and millions and millions of dollars. Well, I just need just a little bit more. You know what? That's a never-ending vicious cycle. The more you crave things, the more you crave things. The more you long and desire for something that is of this world, that is passing away, the more you're going to long and hunger and desire for it, and you will never be content with what you've got. Possessions are dangerous. They're not only deceptive, they're dangerous. Notice what it says in verse 9. But they that be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. It's dangerous. Do you like to get hurt? I don't know anybody that's sadistic that likes to get hurt. I'm going to go around and hurt myself today so I can feel good. No, we don't do that. But yet, those that desire and long to be rich, it says they fall into temptation and a snare, that's a trap, and into many foolish and painful desires. Listen to what this leads you to. It leads many people into envy. When you desire to have, you know what? You're desiring what somebody else has got. You're envying. It leads to selfishness. It leads to cheating. It leads to lying. It leads to fraud. It leads to robbery. It can lead to hatred. It can lead to murder. It can lead to all sorts of immorality when you start desiring possessions. Often given the illustration, when a baby's born into this world, they come in with clenched fists. And when they leave empty-handed. Oh, how we get caught up in the lie. The Word of God is full of examples. Look back in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. In Joshua, the 7th chapter, the Lord had told Israel, and told Moses, and Moses told Israel, that when they go into Jericho and they conquer the land, do not take anything of the accursed things. In other words, don't take anything. Well, in chapter 7, what we find in verse 1, there was a man by the name of Achan, and it says, the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Not just against Achan, but against all of Israel. And what happened? Israel suffered defeat up at Ai. This little bitty small group of men kicked the Israelites in the derriere. They whooped them. And it's all because of one man by the name of Achan. He took of the accursed thing. Notice what the Word of God says. As they suffered defeat, Joshua pled to the Lord. The Lord revealed to him that somebody had taken of the accursed thing. So Joshua gets up early and he thins down the families and it gets down to Achan. In verse 19, Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to God, the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Tell me now what you have done. Hide it not from me." Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of a goodly Babylonish garment, I saw this really nice suit. And man, it fit real good. And I looked really sharp in it," said Achan. "Then I saw this 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels. And I coveted them." See that evil desire? Longing to possess that which he was told not to covet after. "And took them. And behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." Achan died a horrendous death. They burned him with fire and then they stoned him with stones along with his family. Because he was disobedient unto God. You see, he fell into a trap. He fell into a snare. Which is what God's Word warns us against. That you will fall into a snare. Look over in 2 Kings chapter 5. One other little illustration. In 2 Kings, down in the 5th chapter. 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman, a Syrian officer, he's the chief of over the whole military. You remember Naaman was leprous. And his little servant girl that he had taken out of Israel said, "There's a prophet in Israel that can heal you. His name's Elisha." Elisha told him to go and wash down in the river. Naaman thought that was foolish. And we got better rivers back there in Syria. What do I need to go down there for? Nevertheless, he went down and he washed himself 7 times. Came up, looked like newborn skin, just fresh. He was like, wow. And notice what it says in verse 16. Or in verse 15, "And he returned to the man of God, and all his company came, and stood before him, and he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of your servant.' But he said," this is Elisha, "'as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused." Naaman left. down in verse 20, there is the servant Gehazi. Gehazi, it says, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master hath spared Naaman, the Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" Gehazi said, "All is well. My master sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. Help my wardrobe out a little bit to help them." Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him, and he bound two talents of silver in two bags and two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in, and he stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, "Where are you coming from, Gehazi?" Gehazi responds, "Your servant went nowhere. I've not gone anywhere. I've been right here all along." Elisha said unto him, "Went not my heart with you? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet you, is it time to receive money, time to receive garments, olives, olive yards, vineyards, sheep, oxen, men servants, man servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto you and unto your seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. You see, Gehazi coveted, had an evil desire for material gains. He became a curse. Think of Solomon. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tried everything. Riches, women, wealth, whatever it was. He had it all and he tried it all. And you know what his final line was? "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Emptiness, emptiness. All this world has to offer is emptiness." Look at Judas, who betrayed our Lord for a few pieces of silver. The conviction got to him and he went out and hung himself. You see, materialism spoils and destroys people. The Word of God says, "Which drown men in destruction and perdition." It pulls them down like a sunken ship. It just sucks them up into destruction and perdition. Possessions will not help you when it comes time for you to leave this world. I forgot which queen it was. She said, on her deathbed, "Everything that I own for just another moment of life." But you know what? Your possessions can't help you when it's your time to part from this world. You think about Steve Jobs, who passed away just a few years ago. Billionaire. Billionaire upon billionaire. How much did he take with him? None. He had nothing. Though he had millions upon this life, nothing. You might think this might not apply to me that much. I want you to think with me for a moment. Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 6, he said, "Therefore take no thought, saying what you shall eat or what you shall drink, wherewith shall we be clothed. For after all these things the Gentiles seek." The unbelievers seek these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. You think about that for a moment. How many of y'all were worried about what you were going to wear today? Or a day this past week? Your clothing that you were going to put on. "Honey, does this dress look good?" Now, Lady didn't say to me that. She didn't ask me that, so I can say that this morning. I'm not going to get in trouble. I just feel like it might just show too much areas I shouldn't show. Now, you know what? Take no thought of what you're going to wear, is what the Word of God says, doesn't it? How many times do we worry about our possessions? About the things that we're going to wear? Or Jesus is telling us not to do that. Back in our text, in verse 6, here is great gain that's promised to you and I as God's children. Godliness with contentment. Great gain. Godliness with contentment. What does that mean? What is contentment? It's being satisfied in the love of God. That's contentment. You know what I read just last week? I was sharing with some of the men yesterday of different men in the Southern Baptist Convention that have fallen into some very grave sins. They've confessed and, you know, discipline was taken upon them. Some of them look to jump right back in ministry. You know why they fell into sin? Because they were not content. Their soul was not satisfied in the love of God. So they're looking to fulfill the lustful desires and they fall into sin. You know what? We're no different. Every one of us here, we have to fight these things daily. Are you satisfied in the love of God? In the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What's the antidote for these desires that we have and then we start craving after? You know what you need to desire? Your delight in the Lord more than the things of this world. Instead of desiring things and materialism, delight in the Lord your God. Look at what it says back in verse 8. You got food? You got raiment? Be content. Now you think about it. If you've got food and shelter and clothing, that's a pretty simple life, isn't it? What the Lord is telling us, lead a simplified life. This is where this gets real convicting. For me, and if you got any kind of sense about you spiritually, it should be convicting for you too. I was thinking about the Jungle Book, The Bare Necessities. You remember Baloo? Old Baloo? Well, look for those bare necessities. I better not sing it or y'all be thinking it and forget what the sermon's about. There are a lot of things that consume our lives. Are you satisfied with Christ? Remember what the psalmist said? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything if the Lord is my shepherd. The things you think you're lacking generally are the things that are passing away, that don't amount to a hill of beans. I asked you, are you satisfied with your Lord? And let me take it one step deeper. Are you satisfied with where He has you in life? With the situations and circumstances, whatever, wherever you're at in life, are you satisfied with how God's working in your life? You don't need more stuff. Stuff. Think of stuff. Stuffing. Sounds like something you're cramming full of something. Stuff. Sounds like Thanksgiving. Stuffing. You stuff the turkey. You stuff. I just got more stuff. You got more stuff than you need. It's a liberating thought to think of living a simplified life. Being freed from the burdens that weighed us down. that won't amount to a hill of beans when we come to our deathbed. Let me give you a thought to think about. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive, didn't he? In verse 17, once again, down in chapter 6, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the riches, uncertain riches, but in the living God, which gives us all things to enjoy. And then he gives them this exhortation, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, give. Give is what Paul's saying. Paul's saying you got to give. Laying up in store for yourselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. That is what counts. Grow in contentment. Be freed up from all the things. Anything that you get should be looked at as resources for the purpose of making disciples for Jesus Christ. You hear what I'm saying? Boy, this is a convicting message for me. Who in here thinks on the day when you face the Lord, He's going to say to you, you just gave away too much? I don't think anybody in here is guilty of that. Treasure Christ above all the possessions, above all the wealth that this world can throw at you. Let me ask you, do you have soul satisfaction? That's contentment in Christ. This I know, if you love your money, you don't give it away. If you love your things, you don't give it away. Anybody ever watch any of them shows on TV, Hoarders? Watched it the other night, and the guy hoarded so much, it flowed in his yard, and his yard was hoarded. I'm going like, good grief. Couldn't even walk. They had tons of people dumping stuff out. It's give me, greed. Do you see the value of the gospel? That people need Christ. It's not the things they're trying to fill their life with that will never satisfy. It's only Christ that will satisfy. But let me tell you something. You cannot be the effective witness that you should be if you're materialistic and constantly craving the things of this world. Because you know what? That's what the Gentiles seek after. That's what lost people seek after. That's what consumes their life. If they see that consuming your life, how effective witness are you going to be? Is Christ your all in all? Do you value souls more than the possessions that you have? Oh, that we might reach out to a lost and dying world. If you know not Christ as your sole satisfaction, you know what? You will always be seeking and never being filled. Oh, that you might trust Him as Lord and Savior. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved because of His finished work. Do you know Him? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your precious Word. And Lord, it's such a challenge to us. We live in such a materialistic society that tells us, throws advertisements at us, you need this, you need that, you need more, you're not satisfied without this, your life's not complete without this. Oh Lord, break our hearts because of all of our possessions. May we use what You've given us to reach out to people who are lost, broken, in need of You. Lord, we ask that You'd help us to share Your gospel.